Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this wonderful day you've given us. May our worship be in a way that glorifies you and exalts you, as the song has said. May our hearts and our minds, everything that is about us, be focused on you and how to lift you up today. We love you, Lord, and we praise you for everything. We lift up our offerings to you today, dear God, that they bless you and you see them as a great and wonderful thing that we do. Thank you for everything, Lord, in Christ's name.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and continue on with our call to worship. We will sing number 261, Wonderful Words of Life, 261.
Doing well this morning. Just a few announcements for you. We got all kinds of activities coming up in August this month. You can look in your bulletin to follow along, but we got an ACT Teams lock-in coming in on the this coming Friday, a week from this past Friday. Loaves and Fish is on the 18th, and then you can see the updated VBS offerings, a little praise to God for that, $1,584. Again, if you still want to give, you may earmark that to VBS, and we would be happy to place that. I encourage everyone to mark on their calendars August 28th, Sunday night. We will be recognizing our ACT teens who have spent a lot of time going through the process of being an ACT teen, and we'll learn more about what that means. But I am so proud of these young ladies for sticking with it and going through all that entails being an ACT teen, and so we're going to recognize them and celebrate them on that night. We have a church-wide potluck on August 31st, so mark that on your calendar as well. Also, on the back of your bulletin, August 10th, we're going to be having a back-to-school party, and so not only is that an announcement, that's a prayer request. Let's start praying for our students and our teachers and our bus drivers and cafeteria workers and custodians and everybody that plays a part in the education of our young people. So be Make sure you invite your young ones to come to the party, but also use that as a way to remember to pray for those people. We want to welcome everyone to Hillcrest this morning. The way we're going to do that, visitors, thank you for coming. We're going to stand up and we're going to sing, and as we do, we're going to wave and shake hands.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this land. I'm a part of the family, a family of God. I'm so glad in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this out. For I'm part of the family, the family of God.
All right, you can be seated. I hope you had a good week.
Amen.
Yeah, about three of you did. I think we need to pray for our teachers. If we have any teachers that are going to be starting to teach, why don't you guys stand up so we can see who we're praying for? We've got three standing up that are full-time teachers. If you have any substitutes, why don't you guys stand up too? That's just for the school system. All right, You guys keep standing. I'm going to pray for you, so let's go to the Lord together. Father Almighty, first of all, thank you for children, that we have the privilege of them coming to school and learning. And then I thank you, God, for our teachers that you've called them. Father, it has to be a calling to put up with what they do to teach. And I pray for them. I pray for their safety. I pray, God, that you would encourage them, that you would give them time, Lord, to prepare and driving back and forth. I pray for safety. Lord, I do pray for the children, the kids, Lord, as they teach. Most of all, I pray that these would represent the Lord Jesus Christ and trust you, Father, to guard them and to help them through the trials that they go through. Thank you, Lord, that these United States of America, we have public school systems. Lord, there's a lot of flaws, but it's the best school system going. And thank you, God, for that. Be with those that would want to cause trouble. I pray, Lord, that you just put a stop to that right now. Only you can do that, Father. If there's one that wants to go inside of a school, just stop them. We'll give you glory and praise for it. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Now we're going to pray for us. There are some that have had surgery this week. Others have had reports or tests, and they're waiting for their reports to come back. Some of you are recovering from COVID, and we need prayer. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father God, it's a privilege to be a child of God, knowing, Lord, that as we pray, you know what we're praying, you hear us, You know our hearts. So we come to you, Lord, for all the things that we need help with. Thank you, God, for hearing and knowing that you can take care of our problems and our hurts and our burdens. I do pray, Father, for those that are having surgery this week. I pray, God, for those that are waiting for results from tests. And Father, for those that have lost loved ones, I lift them up to you for encouragement and all the things, Lord, that they remember and go through. I just ask, Lord, that you put your arms around them and love them. Be with us, Lord, as a church. Help us be supportive of each other, to take care of each other's needs the best we can. Lift up our church, Father, and thank you for the blessings that you poured out on Hillcrest Baptist Church. The things that are taking place in the new building, Father, it looks like it's dragging, but they're doing work and it's coming along and it'll be finished in your time. And we thank you, God, for the new building, the opportunities, Lord, that you'll give us to use it. Help us, Lord, to get our guidance from you. Help us to listen to you and do exactly what you tell us to do and nothing else. I pray, Father, for this service, that you'd be right here with us, that we'd hear the word of God, we'd sing to the Lord, we'd pray to the Lord, and all of it, Lord, would bring you honor and glory. I pray for Brother Bobby as he's preaching today, and Lord, that you'd give him the words to say, and the congregation would respond to those words. And Father, at the end of this day, I pray that we'd all just know we've been in the presence of God. Thank you for Sunday worship. God, help us to enjoy you all day long. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, children, come on.
Bear, slow down.
Glad to be here. I hope so. I'm glad you're here. Is that good or bad?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. How come? No, she's going to a different school. When do you start? What grade? You'll be going to school pretty soon. Fifth grade? Fourth? Sixth, third, eighth, three, fourth, and you're going to go somewhere or another. Mm-hmm. You know what? I've been praying for you guys all week. I had a certain verse I want to share with you, and I know you know it, but I'm still going to share it with you because it's God's word. And I hope that you've all heard it 100 times. It is John 3:16. So listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When I read this, instead of the world, I use Jerry. I put my name in there. For God so loved Jerry that he gave his Son for me. He died for my sins. I make it just real personal. I always read the Bible like that. This is like a love letter to me. He writes these things and I listen to him and it makes me feel so good when he says, I love you, Jerry. So he loved you guys. And guess what he did for you on that cross? I know you know. Yes, he died for your sins. But you know, when he died, he chose to die for you. And he didn't put any conditions on that. He didn't say, if you come to Sunday school all your life, then I'm going to save you. He said, I love you so much that I'm going to let them kill me for your sins. Some of you understand this and some of you don't. But that's the truth, what God writes. He wrote, for God so loved you that he gave Jesus, his only Son, so that you wouldn't die and go to hell. When you have eternal life, where do you go? Yes, where? Heaven, exactly right. I am so looking forward to that. You know, one day, most likely, I'm going to die before you guys. And I'm going to look forward to seeing you guys one day. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be the best place you've ever been. What's some of the best places you've been so far? Six Flags? Where? Boston. Yeah. Compare to heaven. I think the best place I've ever been on earth is a little pizza place. I love pizza. Do you like pizza? Ooh, I could live there and eat pizza day, every day. Chuck E. Cheese. I'm pretty good with Chuck E. Cheese. But we got it. What do you say? No, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Please is pretty good too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 238, Breathe on Me, 238.
My heart, cleanse every part.
And if you would please stand as we continue on with number 227, Praise Him, Praise Him, 227.
The song of joy.
I hope you know how blessed our church is. We have fantastic instrumentalists. It's a 5-syllable word I just said. Praise the Lord. We have a great choir talent throughout. Wouldn't it be nice if our choir loft was full every Sunday? You sing pretty good too. It would be wonderful if we had about 22 people up there. We have the talent for it. Of course, I wouldn't ever ask you to do anything, but they practice on Wednesdays. They sure would love to have you. We do have a need I want to share with you. A special call business meeting will be about the nominate committee. It will not be about the building. We always present the report to you for vote. So we need to announce it from the pulpit twice. It is a special call meeting. But we need one for sure. We need a missions friends teacher. Samantha has been doing it for many years, and she's ready to do something else. So if you are interested in teaching our 3-year-olds missions, you'll have a ball. They love their teacher, and they do well. So if you are interested in that, get hold of me or Ginger, and we'll go from there. James chapter 5, persevering with patience. I hardly even wanted to write that down as a title. Persevering with patience. And I'm telling you, this was a kicker. I mean, all these have been. James has been so hard to preach. It It's a simple little book, but man, it hits you between the eyes with some of the stuff he tells us that we ought to be doing. And we need to be people of perseverance. Not only persevere, but do it with patience. So James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. One of the things that we've learned about James in the book of James is that of trials and problems that we go through. And when they happen, James gives us instruction of what we're to do, how do we handle it. And today, he tells us to be patient in times of trouble. He instructs us not only to be patient, but to persevere as we go through these troubles. Remember James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So he started out talking about trials where no trials are coming, and we're to count it all joy. Then verse 3 says, the testing of your faith, the testing of these trials produces patience. So let me remind you, no matter what we go through, God has a purpose for our lives. And he has a time for our lives, and his timing is perfect. So when we go through tests, we can pray all day long, God, quicken it up, but he has a certain time that he intends for us to go through these trials and tribulations and the stuff that we go through. And there's reasons he has, and we'll share some of those reasons he has, for some of them go very short. Some of them last a whole long time, in fact, a lifetime. So today we're going to look at what James tells us very specifically. And after studying these five books of James, five chapters of James, we know that during our lifetime, we are going to experience many trials and sufferings, many, many, many. I can't express how many. We're going to struggle with emotional issues, health issues, financial issues. We're going to go through relationship issues. And the list goes on and on and on. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's just life. Would you agree with that? And as we do, the first chapter tells us to go through these things and do it with joy in your heart. Man, if that's not a kicker, I don't know what is. That's tough, especially when the things we've been going through the last 3 years. But as a Christian, don't you think that we ought to be joyous to the world? Don't you think that they ought to see a certain joy coming out of our lives that they don't have? That doesn't make it any easier, but that's what we've been called to do as a Christian. Count all joy as we go through these trials. There's a couple different ways I want to explain to you about trials. Sometimes we contribute to our problems, or we cause our problems and trials that we go through. And sometimes we go through trials that we have no control over. They pop up and we handle them. Sometimes they're from the Lord, well, they're all the time from the Lord, but sometimes we actually cause the trials that we go through. And then those that are completely out of our control, we just have to persevere and get through those. James has given us instruction of how to handle all these trials. Just make sure that if you're experiencing the first one, that you're causing your own trials and burdens and problems and sufferings and all that. If you're the main cause of it, or if you're doing things to cause a problem, James would be the first one to tell you Just quit it. Just quit it. Quit doing what you're doing. So you have to determine whether you're the cause of it or not. I can tell you right now, I've caused many of my sufferings. And sometimes I quit, sometimes I don't. And what happens when I don't quit? It gets worse and worse and worse. I know firsthand what James is talking about. And I also know, I appreciate him saying, Jerry, quit it. Just quit it. And as I quit contributing to my problems, guess what happens? They disappear. But then I also know that we go through things that we absolutely cannot control. You cannot control the death of a spouse. You cannot control things like you get fired unless you're the cause of that. Things happen. So stop what you're doing if you're causing them. I read this story. I started not to share it with you, but I giggled at it, so I thought I'd share it with you. I read about a man digging a hole, and the whole point was if you find yourself in the bottom of a deep hole that you put yourself into, the first thing you need to do is put that shovel down and quit shoveling. Man, I like that. Because when I dig a hole, I tend to put first both feet in it, both hands in it, both bodies in it. I don't have both bodies, but my body, everything. And if I continue digging that hole, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So if you're digging that hole, put your shovel down and quit digging. Now, I want you to think about that. It's a silly little story, but think about all the times we dig our holes because we want something we want to do. We control things ourselves. We cause things ourselves. Put that shovel down. Quit digging. Sometimes it's just your opinion that's opposite of God's opinion. And you continue with what you want to do, your will, not God's will. Put the shovel down. You're just going to dig that hole deeper and deeper. So if you're in one of those things that you can't control, James is going to give us instruction today. So look at the very first part of verse 7. Therefore, be patient. If you can't control it, what good does it do to be impatient? James is pretty plain here. If you cannot control what you're going through, be patient. And he has a reason for telling us that. And how long do you have to wait according to this verse? What's he say? Till the Lord comes back. In other words, it's going to take a long time to put up with it. Do what you have to do that whole time. All these things, these afflictions that we go through, the personal things, they affect us in our personal life. But our trials and burdens sometimes affect the church. And many times it's things that we cannot control. This is what James is after. He's teaching us as Christians how to face our trials and tribulations because it reflects not only individual Christianity, but the church as well. And if you study the book of James and study the history behind it, you know this was the first church, and they were under terrible afflictions. They lost their jobs for being a Christian. They lost their jobs for following Jesus. They lost their homes for following Jesus. I mean, they were put in jail for following Jesus. And remember Saul, before he was Paul? What was he doing against the church? He was killing people for being a good Christian. Remember Stephen? He lost his life for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saul was up there on that hillside directing people to stone him. And Stephen looks up at the heavens. He sees the heaven. He sees Jesus standing. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. Can you just hear the joy pouring out of Stephen as he dies, takes his last breath? God, forgive them. He's already taken care of. Count it all joy for those things that are coming. And why wait? Why wait till the Lord comes back? Why wait a long time? There's a reason for that. There's several reasons. Number one, we wait because God says wait. This is an imperative. This is a commandment. He's given this commandment to James so that you and I can read it. We can study it. We can understand it. We can practice it. It's a command from God to wait patiently. So if you have a problem with patience, you need to check with God. We're going through things all the time. We'll continue to go through things so you don't have any breath left. Sooner or later, we need to learn how to have patience through these things we go through. Secondly, being patient demonstrates our faith or lack of faith in God. You go through things patiently, counting things all joy that you're going through, and you're placing your trust in God, aren't you? But what if you're impatient? What are you telling God then? I can do it better than God can do it. My time's better than the Lord's timing. Human nature, isn't it? The Bible says, trust God, be patient in God. As we're patient in these trials, we're telling God how much we trust Him. Third, be patient because God maybe needs time to work out things that you're going to go through in the future. So you need to learn the trial you're going through now. And be patient. Let God take care of all that stuff that's fixing to happen. It's out of your control anyways, isn't it? So let God control it. I know these are easy words just flowing out of my mouth, but that's what James is teaching us, how to do this, what we're supposed to do. How long do we wait? According to verse 7, until the Lord comes back. You can almost hear the church saying, what? That's what we're saying. Are you kidding me? Wait till the Lord come back? What if He doesn't come back for 1,000 years? What if He doesn't come back for 1,000 years? What are we to do? You wait. You wait patiently. As long as it takes, is what James is saying. James uses the example of a farmer and how the farmer waits for that precious fruit and vegetables. How many of you are growing tomatoes right now? How many have had green tomatoes? You're waiting on those red tomatoes to come, to turn red. I've got a gazillion green ones. They just won't turn red. I'm waiting patiently. Every day I look out there, Lord, are you coming back today? I bought a can of red spray paint. I'll take care of it. That's how we think. That's what we do when we get in front of God and do things His way. Anybody want some tomatoes from me, by the way? Wait patiently. Sooner or later, those tomatoes are going to turn red. And what a joy it's going to be to bite into one of those luscious, juicy tomatoes that do not have worms in them. They're going to be great. We've waited and waited and waited. Simple illustration James uses, but those are things we go through. We all plant things. We all have vegetable gardens. We have flower gardens. We have children waking up. That's our fruit. We're waiting patiently for them to mature. If you have a three-year-old, they're not quite as mature as a five-year-old, but they're more mature than a 15-year-old. No, I take that back. Our 15-year-olds, we got a great bunch of kids here, students, youth. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to call them. They're my kids, and they are the greatest bunch we've ever had here. Thank you guys for what you do, and you show us what you do. But we're to wait patiently for them to grow up and have children themselves. And whatever trials they go through with them, and we wait patiently. We count it all joy to help them. God has these ways of working our life out before us. That's all James is teaching us, how to handle these things. And I look around, and I know some of you have things going on with your children that you cannot control. This is for you. Wait patiently and let God help you. Maybe He's testing your prayer life or how we're going to react to these. I'm speaking from experience. We've raised 2 plus 6. And they weren't a piece of cake to raise. But boy, have they turned out good. They're not perfect. They weren't taught to be perfect. They didn't have a perfect teacher. But we went through these things together. God handled it. Rhonda and I several times got on our knees and said, Lord, we can't do anything. Can you do it? Guess what he did? They're in their 40s now. I know I don't look old enough to have a 40-year-old, but they're in their 40s now, and they're doing just fine. There's a story that I read about a young girl whose father was the captain of a passenger ship in the early 1900s. The girl's mother had passed away a few years earlier, and the little girl traveled with her father and lived on board the ship. One evening, the ship encountered extremely violent storms, and that was so bad that the ship was in danger of capsizing. The captain ordered the crew to get all the passengers out of the cabins and into their life jackets as they prepared for the worst. One of the crew members went down to the captain's cabin to get his daughter. When they woke her up and told her what was happening, she asked one question: is father on the bridge? When the crew member responded that he was, the little girl told him, well, with father in charge, everything will be okay, and she went back to sleep. That's God. God's on the bridge. God's in control. Go back to sleep. Let him handle it. There's not a storm in this world that God can't take care of. There's not a trial that he's not in charge of. He's sovereign. Aren't you glad that you have a Father in heaven, that you can call Father and tell Father, Lord, I got this problem, but if you're in control, I'm okay. I'm okay. Keep on going and look at verse 8. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Strengthen your heart for Jesus. He could come back this very moment, we'd just be okay then. Strengthen your heart in the Lord. Be willing to study God's word. Be willing to pray to God. Be willing to walk closer to God. James has already told us that once before. Now he's telling us again, draw closer to God. Let him do this. I want you to run over to 2 Peter, or run over that way to 2 Peter, the next book over. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 through 4. And listen to what Peter writes, and this is from God. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. Now what did he just say? As his divine power has given to all of us the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue, by which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, and through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust and disobedience. So Peter is telling us that you have everything you need in God. You've been given his power. You have all the power you need to get through anything you're going through. You have the promises of God that tells you you have the power of God himself to get you through these things. Just for fun, run over to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Verse 9. And circle this one in your Bible. And Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That verse didn't say he just gives you some of his grace. My grace is sufficient for you. That's the whole grace of God available to us. It's enough to handle yesterday's problems, today's problems, and tomorrow's problems. It will handle any problem you face forever and ever and ever. My grace, all my grace is available to you. And it gets stronger, it seems like, through your weaknesses, through the trials you're going through. My grace is sufficient. Can you grab hold of that? I mean, really grasp it. My grace will get you through anything on this earth that you go through. There it is, as thick as the clouds. I mean, it's just thick, His grace. And it surrounds us. It's 360-degree surround sound stuff. I mean, it's there. You can feel it. My grace, Jesus' grace, all of it is available to us. And then run back to James chapter 5 and look at verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. You can study Hebrews chapter 11. It's chock full of God's prophets that went through suffering. Abraham, Moses, David. I mean, it's go through all of them. But let me tell you this. Even though they went through stuff, their stuff just glorified God. Anytime they went through something, the focus was always on God. It was never on the individual, the character that was experienced with the stuff. But their faith in God got them through all the stuff they went through, and now we have a record of it in Hebrews chapter 11. My grace is sufficient for those guys way back there, the women back there. My grace is sufficient for you guys today. My grace is sufficient for our children in the future. And you can look at those Old Testament examples and see what they went through. I cannot imagine what Moses felt like when the Egyptian army was behind him and there's the Red Sea in front of him and it got 120,000 or 1.2 million people complaining to him. God, what are you going to do? We see Moses is the one that did the character God's using, but we see who parts that Red Sea. That whole thing is to build up our faith in God. God will always do His part. Will you? Our part's just to be patient. That's pretty neat. It doesn't take a lot of work. God has equipped us with His power and His word. So He expects something from us. Look at verse 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. My grace has been given to you. I am the power that will take care of your problems. And then verse 11, and we've counted those blessed who endure, who persevere. I want you to think about King David and King Saul. Didn't King Saul try to kill David? Did David get through it? Did David go through when Absalom tried to kill his own daddy? Did he not make it through that? I mean, David did everything he had to do to persevere. He trusted in God. And the Lord says, to those endure, I'll count blessed. I want you to think about Jeremiah. The people hated Jeremiah because he said, thus saith the Lord. And they didn't want to hear it. But Jeremiah stood up and thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus. He didn't back down. And they threw him in prison. They tried to kill him. They threw him in a deep, stinky well. But he persevered. He got through the stuff because of God. Joseph, Daniel, Ruth, Esther, Paul, the list goes on and on and on. They persevered, and today you're hearing their names. James writes, you've heard about the perseverance of Job. Who hasn't heard about Job? The patience of Job, the suffering of Job. We know his life story frontwards and backwards. But didn't God reward Job for his perseverance and his faithfulness and his patience in God? Everything was taken away from Job. Everything. Except his life. And God restored everything more than he had before. Oswald Chambers wrote this about God's testing of saints and his purposes for our lives. He wrote this, God doesn't, like an arrow, God doesn't aim at our mark. God aims at his mark. As we persevere, as we get hurt, as we suffer, we need to focus on God's mark and not our own mark. And as we go through that suffering and perseverance, here's the good news. Jesus is coming back. So here's my question. Are you focused on Jesus? And are you focused on Jesus coming back? He's looking for us to live a life that's glorifying him, that others see Jesus in us. They watch us as we suffer and go through the trials and stuff that we go through. Are they seeing joy, patience, perseverance? That's what James is teaching. It's a good lesson. Hard one to write. I had to look at all these things. You know, I always preach these to me before I ever preach them to you, and it's not pleasant looking inwardly. How many times I've asked God to do something for me, not necessarily for him. How many times we've suffered and we forgot about the joy part. We didn't count it all joy at the time. God is good. Man, is he ever good. We serve a mighty God. And each person in here, whoever you are, remember this. God loves you. And he's ready to take care of whatever you need and go through it with you. I didn't say he was going to solve it right away, did I? But he'll go through it with you. You'll feel his arms wrapped around you if you trust him, have patience in him. Do the things that we've been taught to do. Let's pray. Father Almighty, we started out with John 3:16 with the children, making sure, Lord, that we know that you died on the cross for us, for our sins, knowing, Lord, that we have to give our life to you, accept you as our Savior. And as we accept you as our Savior, Lord, as we go through these things, we have the promises that you'll go through with us. You'll be the sufficiency, Lord. Your grace will take care of all things. Your power is powerful enough for anything that comes along in this world. You can handle trillions and trillions of problems at one time. God, help us today to know, number one, that we belong to you, that we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then we've committed in our hearts, Father, to learn the instructions of the Bible, to apply them to our lives. God, some of them are hard. Boy, did they ever pay dividends. We're rewarded for our faithfulness. God, during this time of invitation, I pray, God, if you've spoken to anybody's heart, that they would come forward and say, Brother Jerry, God told me to come forward and share with you. Lord, if somebody needs Jesus in their heart, I pray, God, that you speak to them in a great way so that they'll just know that you died on that cross for them. Be with us, God. This is your invitation. This is your time to speak to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to make a decision for Jesus, this is an invitation. I invite you to come forward. You know where I stand. And come on forward and we'll pray through it all.
Make my life.
Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me,
closes.